From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Among the homegrown terror suspects who've been caught, many failed in their efforts to connect with terror groups. That would describe the suspects arrested earlier this week in North Carolina. 26-year-old Bryant Nilvenius is a different case entirely. Federal officials say he made it all the way into al-Qaeda's inner ranks. He not only ended up in a camp in Pakistan, but in meetings with some of the group's top leaders, the very people who helped plan and carry out attacks around the world. Now, he's in custody in the U.S., and officials say the intelligence he has provided suggests that al-Qaeda may be vulnerable. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports.
There's one huge question surrounding the case of Bryant Nilvenius. How did a 26-year-old Latino from Long Island, with no historical links to al-Qaeda, manage to do what U.S. intelligence officials haven't been able to do since the 9/11 attacks, namely break into al-Qaeda's inner sanctum?
I think al-Qaeda is always in search of interesting operatives.
Juan Zarate was a deputy national security advisor in the Bush administration.
So this may be a case where al-Qaeda saw something in this individual, and it, to a certain extent, demonstrates a breakdown of al-Qaeda protocols and security, that you have somebody like this who probably was not all that well vetted entering into al-Qaeda camps.
Zarate thinks Venius profited by the experience al-Qaeda had with a handful of American jihadists who came before him. They paved the way for his easy acceptance.
Al-Qaeda has had good experience working with people like Jose Padilla. And so al-Qaeda is always on the lookout to identify and train individuals who can operate easily in the West.
One thing he had going for him was an American passport, that and a clean American criminal record.
Sam Raskoff is a terrorism expert at New York University Law School.
So he started with a distinctive leg up on the competition.
Two senior U.S. officials said that U.S. intelligence started tracking Venius before he left the country 2 years ago.
He begins by associating with certain people in New York City. They know someone overseas.
NYU's Raskoff provides a broad outline of how someone like Venius would get to the camps.
And the next thing he knows it, he's in the company of Taliban leadership, who in turn send him to a place where he's in close proximity to al-Qaeda. It's really a case of one step at a time and on the basis of one personal reference at a time.
U.S. intelligence tried to keep tabs on who Venius met with and where he went. But when he got to the border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan, the trail grew faint. That's when he started tapping into an intricate but informal network of militants that fly under the U.S. intelligence radar. An official familiar with the case says Venius was a self-recruiter. He converted to Islam and went to Pakistan with only minimal connections, which makes his acceptance by al-Qaeda all the more remarkable.
It tends to undermine the story we've been telling about what it takes to get inside the hardcore of al-Qaeda.
And that raises the question, why hasn't the CIA been able to do what Venius did? Raskoff says the issue isn't getting a CIA operative into a camp, it's getting him out.
Let's assume that we could follow the Venius playbook, literally play by play. Still, the American organization or official would be left with the question, now that my source is on the inside and bringing all this terrific intelligence back to headquarters, how on earth am I going to be able to extract this source with his neck intact?
That's a risk that, as far as we know, U.S. intelligence hasn't taken. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.